There are many worlds in the multiverse. Some, like Kyrian, are islands alone, uninvolved with the greater struggles of the planes. Some places, like Sigil, are awash with the conflicts that rage across them from upper to lower. Wars between angels and fiends, or demons and devils, playing out in the streets. Others, like Tal'Dorei or Faerûn, are worlds of adventure and magic, where the darkest deeds and the greatest heroism lie side by side. But all have the same thing in common. They are worlds of adventure and daring. Join us now as we experience the strife and danger of the multiverse in D&D 5th edition.
Hello, and welcome to Cult of Tea and Dice. Not sure what number episode it is, but that's fine. And it is episode 4, much to my surprise. I honestly thought it was 3, of D&D 5th edition Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus. I am Bloodied, and I am your DM for this evening. But what is a dungeon master without players? Well, someone playing with himself, and that's just dirty. So I will just randomly do this in any old order. So, Mordrigan, who are you?
Hello, I'm Mordrigan, and I'm playing Gwariol, the deposed king of Duskalo.
Okay, and we have an archive.
Hello, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Miri Brightwood, half-elf cleric.
And we have an Il Porcupino.
Hi, I'm Il Porcupino, and I'm playing Adelaide Crane, otherwise known as Ladle, the tiny, tiny assassin.
And we have a Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Sleek, who is an owlin barbarian.
And last but not least, we have a Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus, and this evening I will be playing Amberhide, the Tabaxi Monk.
So, we left things in a interesting situation last week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last time. Let's go with last time. And but how did we get there? Please do a recap for those listening at home.
So,
or work, or wherever.
We knew, like, the cultists were at a bathhouse, a public bathhouse in Baldur's Gate. So we were like, okay, let's go to the public bathhouse and case the joint. Then we spent, frankly, absolutely forever casing the joint. We were real thorough until we realized that there must be a secret door in massage room number one. And despite the enticements of the various people working there, we were like, we're not actually going to go for a massage, but at the same time, we do want to have a look in massage room number one, as two people went in and three people came out. Then maths don't math. So maybe we'll have a look in there after hours, per se. We came up with some great ideas. It involved, like, watching and waiting and, like, sneaking about. Gwariol and Salik being up on a roof so we could watch. And then Layla went in through the front door without the rest of us. And we were like, oh, fuck, we better catch up. So we caught up, which was probably for the best, as the moment we went through the door, there was these, murdery looking types is the best way of describing them. They definitely looked murdery. They seemed quite murdery. They're called Nightblades, which we don't actually know, but it's fairly concerning, as it were. And so we engaged them in combat. And let's see, to give you an idea of how the combat went, it went Mrs., 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 Ladle fucks him up. Mrs., Mrs., Ladle is the only one who's hit them and, like, poisoned one horrifically to death. And then some extra person came out of, massage room number one, which seems to be the most popular massage room in the entirety of Baldur's Gate, by the looks of it. And this person is some kind of horrific death knight of some description.
I called him Mr. Flail.
Yes, I've got him down as Flail Prick in my...
Because he's got a flail.
He's got a
flail. I'm going down with cultist four.
It's
flail.
Got a skull on it. It's got skulls on it.
Ooh.
It is, his weapon is literally called skull flail.
Okay, so basically, skull flail prick then has just entered the fray, and I believe we were at the top of the round.
Indeed we were, which means...
It's me.
Which one of the dead three is Merkel?
Merkel, hold on, I'm going to have to look this up now. Because I know Baal is the Lord of Murder, but I can never remember exactly what Merkel and Bane are. Right, so, yes. Merkel is the Lord of Bones. So Bane is the Lord of Darkness.
All right.
How this is what happens when a god decides to this is what happens when a god decides to just say fuck it, retire and split his portfolio in three and give it to three knobheads who showed up demanding to be made gods.
Wait, hang on, who retired?
The original god of all death, which was the god of the dead, Yergal.
Anyway,
Google was like, it's a long story. Long, weird story.
If I quit my job, will people start calling me Yergal?
I mean, they might call him something else.
Right. Well, Prick, because he's landed us with these fools, would be my point of view. So I believe I was fighting with. Was I fighting?
You were fighting cultist one.
I was fighting cultist number one.
I have a picture.
To my knowledge, cultist number one is still the fucking live as well. So
cultists one and two are alive. Nightblades one and two are alive. Nightblade three is dead.
I didn't know what they were called. On my notes, they were all called cultists.
Well, no, I mean, you guys don't know. It's just the adventure calls them Nightblades.
I've just got cultist one knife, cultist two knife, cultist three knife, and cultist four flail.
Cultist one knife, cultist two knife. Cultist 3 knife. Cultist 4, obviously compensating. So, I'm just going to move all of my dice because I don't have enough space to actually roll my dice. Because I'm using the cursed D20.
Yeah.
Hardwick will attest to the fact that this D20 once rolled 21 ones in a row.
That was a good night.
It was a shit night. Right, I'm going to roll this D20. I am basically just going to try and stab the Nightblade in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I've managed a mighty 17 to hit.
Okay, yeah. Let me just double check, and I'm pretty sure that will hit. Yeah, no, that definitely hits.
Okay. Hit, and I am using my sword and shield because I'm currently wearing my leather armor because we were supposed to be flying. Max damage. Have 11 in your face.
Yeah. So interesting fact. They now don't have a face because you just took it off.
Oh well, that's nice.
Yeah. You separate the front of their face from the rest of their head. And they fall down fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
That is normally what happens when you lose your face.
Yes, yes it is. That or you do a movie with John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Necromite of Merkel is up next. He just saw what you did, Gwariel.
Did he really?
He's like, ooh, and he charges in at you. Right.
Bring
so
it,
he will...
fucko.
Yeah, so he is going to take a big old swing with his skull flail.
Mm-hmm.
To hit. Roll me some dice. That's an 18 to hit.
Rather annoyingly, because I'm wearing my leather armor, my AC is 16. So he does, in fact, hit me.
Okay, so... take 3 points of damage.
Wow. Okay, that's fine. What am I down to?
Yeah, you didn't do too great on the damage roll. But,
okay.
You know, just
start. Ouch.
Yeah.
Your weapon is bizarre and not terribly effective. Have you considered a sword?
He just growls at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, up next is Amberhide.
I would like to maneuver. I think I have to be behind him to get advantage for the whole flanking thing.
Sadly, flanking, we worked out, was a third edition.
Yeah. I mean, if you are... yeah. I mean, I think the... I'm not sure if 5th Ed has outnumbering.
Ooh, that I don't know.
Outnumbering.
It might be called surrounding.
There is no specific rule for that in 5e, apparently.
Helpful.
Yeah.
I guess they assume that just because you're getting more and more hits on them, it's probably going to work out about the same. So
yeah, the fact that you just have more dice essentially in terms of people would going in. Yeah. So yeah. No, unfortunately, unless you're doing like a sneak attack thing or something. Yeah. No. It's a straight roll for you.
So flanking does exist as an optional rule in D&D 5th edition. And you have to be on opposite sides. So this is the rule I'm used to.
It's up to you, Mr. Bloody. Do you want to use it or no?
No, I can, because otherwise I'll have to start using it on you in the name of fairness, and I don't want to have to do that.
That was the point I was literally just about to make. It's like, there's only 5 of us.
I'm going to move up behind him anyway. It's not going to get me any advantage, but I am going to whack him with my quarterstaff.
Okay.
Or at least attempt to do so.
This is the one that's remaining Nightblade, just to be clear, yeah?
I was going for the Necromite.
Okay, you're going for the... Okay, no, yeah, you can take a swing at the Necromite if you want.
New largest threat, therefore eliminate as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the dice, they say...
Okay, that hits.
I did the damage. It says 8.
Okay, wow. Yeah, you did him a really nasty whack there. He looks actually kind of... he looks quite badly hurt from that.
Nice.
I mean, Amberhide at this point is going to stare at his quarterstaff because it's been doing way more damage than expected recently.
It's possessed!
I'm not going to complain.
Okay, so the one remaining Nightblade is next. Seeing as you two are dealing with the Necromite, he's going to go for Salik at this point, I think. So, because Owl with a big sword.
Salik, are you standing next to me? Can you remember?
I was previously attacking the Nightblade that Layel dispatched, so I'm not sure.
So GM call, is Salik within 5 foot of me?
Yes, I'd say so.
I interpose my shield and apply disadvantage to this Nightblade attack.
Okay, the Nightblade rolls at disadvantage. Let me roll the 2d20 and take the lowest.
Hooray for protection.
Oh yeah, she misses there. I'm not even gonna ask. Oddly enough, I'm pretty sure like a 4 ain't going to do anything.
No.
Okay, so it is now... Salik, it is now your go.
Okay, then.
So there was a Nightblade coming right at you who then got a shield in their face, which sort of stopped them really being able to do much of anything to you.
Yep. I will acknowledge the save and... have a swing, I think.
Okay. Rolling bones.
Right. That would be... what are we doing here? That would be a 15 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
Okay. I think I had the battle axe out, so that is...
I believe you did. Yes, because I've got a note here that you are unimpressed with the damage you did.
Yes. That's continuing. That's a mighty 3.
Okay, so 3 damage.
Did you add your strength bonus to that damage?
Yes.
Shit. That was my thing.
Yes. Okay, so now we're on to Layel. Ladle, there's one Nightblade left, and this necromite chap who's swinging a flail of skulls around.
Yeah, let's have a shot at him.
Okay.
So I'll aim for the thing. I'm still ducked down inside the tub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. he is in combat with someone already, as well, isn't he?
Two people.
Yes, right. He's in combat with two people, technically.
Okay, so if I can hit him... Ooh, I rolled a 20! Check that.
Yeah, that's a critical.
So
you will do double damage.
Oh, shit. Not double poison damage, though.
I've run out of poison. Oh, I need some more time in my shop to make some more poison. But I do 6 damage as a base anyway. So,
okay, yeah, no, you...
So you I need to roll more 1d6, so... I rolled a 1.
Okay.
So 7 points of damage is 14.
14 damage. Okay, yeah. How would that kill him, would you say?
I would say I pop up and go, boop, and then it goes straight through his eye and out the back of his head. Nice and tidy.
Amberhide, you just managed to avoid getting hit by a dart coming out the back of the guy's head, and he collapses bonelessly in a heap between you and Guariel.
I look down at him and go, I didn't know they could do that. That's new.
Seems a bit counterproductive. Mary, there's one Nightblade left.
All right. Well, they're cultists and they're trying to kill us, which is a problem. Hmm. So, Sacred Flame?
Okay.
They need to succeed on a dex saving throw versus 13.
Okay, dex flaming throw against 13. Dex plus 2. Yeah, they got a 20 in total on that.
Well, they're fine.
Okay.
Oh, I'm writing with my paintbrush. Fuck.
As you do, well, you know, lead models, let's go back in time.
Yes.
Yeah. back in time. Back to the top, though, it's Guariel.
Okay, well, this guy's... fairly close to me then, isn't he? So I will shift across, bring up the shield and sword, and attempt to whack him quite hard with a longsword.
I keep getting the three Nightblades are all female women. Humans.
Well, it makes no difference to me.
Equal opportunity.
I whack at a cultist with a mighty 13.
And that actually hits.
Oh my god.
Yeah, their AC is 12. They're not very heavily armoured.
Well, the damage comes out as a mighty 7.
They are still standing, just. They look very wobbly, but they are still hanging in there.
I bet you're regretting your life choices now.
Amberhide, you're up next.
Swivel in the direction of the next target, move, whack, see whether it happens again.
Give him a whacking.
14.
That hits.
10 damage.
Okay, do you want to particularly describe this fatal quarterstaff to cultist interaction?
So I'm using this thing double-handed, which is why it's a d8 for damage rather than a d6. So I just sort of, it's been working so far, so I've basically got one hand on the end, one hand about a third of the way up, and I just go thwack with like I'm doing kendo or something. And just the sheer mass at the sheer speed at the end just, you know, makes the concave of her head convex of her head concave. So there's now a dish where there used to be a skull.
Yeah. There's a splunking sound and she keels over. Silence returns to the bathhouse. You are now alone at night in the bathhouse with four corpses.
G- given
not
that
a
there
good
was
place to take a bath.
No. Given that there was more of them than we were expecting, do we have time for me to change back, given we're probably
I'm sure we can
fire.
Spare 10 minutes.
I only take a 6. While everybody else is examining the room, I'm going to very painfully and slowly change back into my much heavier armor.
Can I gather up my darts? I think I get.
Yep, you can gather up your darts. That's no problem.
Just get one back.
I'm going to clean off my quarterstaff and then check that the other massage room does not have cultist number 6.
So you're checking out the south, the one that the
south.
South, the one that did not contain a necromite. The south massage room is empty. There is no one there.
Tap on the walls a bit. Make sure.
I mean, roll me a... God, what would you roll for this, I suppose? Perception?
Investigation?
Or investigation. I can take either.
Oh, but my perception's better. Pals.
Yeah, no, this appears to be just a room.
Ah, excellent. I come back out. There's no more. Good.
While I'm gathering my needles, can I loot the bodies?
You can loot the bodies if you like.
Loot that body.
Need a fruit bar, loot that dead bitch's body.
That's it.
I love that song. Unfortunately, you don't find much of anything on them. I mean, they're cultists on duty, so all they've really got are their weapons.
I don't think there's much of a market for skull flails. I don't know.
No.
And maybe take it anyway as evidence for Zodge.
I'll find a bag and put it in that. I don't want that in my pockets.
You'd need a pretty fucking big pocket for a flail.
I have a robe and I am an academic.
Wait, these pockets,
don't, well made.
Don't
these
have
pockets
a...
go for miles.
You mean you don't have a flail pocket in there?
You don't
have one.
We go and look through that secret door then.
Okay, so I'm assuming you all wait for
until
Gwariel to finish changing.
I'm bodyguard.
Right. I'm
more time in the dressing room.
Gwariel gives you a look, given he very much remembers what the original plan was. I'll change into my heavier armor. The lighter armor goes back onto Cryocon. And then, once I'm ready, I will indicate I'm now prepared. Go.
Just check that. You insinuated that Il Porcupino forgot the original plan.
I mean,
truly unprecedented events.
We didn't even have a plan.
We did have a plan.
You kind of
That's
did.
That's the point.
We did.
We absolutely had a plan, and you forgot it.
Oh, dear.
As usual.
Every time. Oh. Anyway.
We didn't have a plan.
We definitely had a plan.
Okay.
What was the plan?
Well, there's a reason why I didn't have my armor on. We were going to watch from the rooftops to see if anybody turned up.
And we did watch till it was quiet. I thought the plan was we were watching till it was closed.
Yeah.
And we waited till it was really late. And then we went in.
And then we were going to wait with the people on the roof to see who came out.
Yes.
So that we could deal with the cultists and make sure that this was where they were coming from.
Oh, I didn't know that bit.
You did, because you were there when it was said.
But you forgot. Anyway. Now
yes,
I'm back in my armor.
Yes, you were.
Ladle, if you wish to open the door, I would suggest that either myself or Salik go through it first.
Indeed. Oh, I got up to it. I know where the entrance is anyway, so click.
Salik, do you want to go or shall I?
I'll go. I can see in the dark.
That is a definite benefit, as I can't.
Checks dark vision.
I'm assuming it's dark inside.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Yes, so the door swings inward. A foul, sewer-like stench wafts upwards. Behind the door, a staircase descends, the smooth stone steps and brick walls. Two sputtering torches on wall sconces illuminate the staircase, but what lies beyond the end of it is dark.
Oh, what a stink.
Bear with me a moment. I'm going to sling my shield on my back and pull out a torch and light it from the sconces. Because, like, I do not have dark vision, so otherwise I'm not going to be able to see.
How wide is this corridor?
The corridor staircase, the staircase is, let's see, it's, well, let me quickly screen cap in the map again using Zoom's handy little screen capture feature. Or it would if Bongo Cat would get out of the way. Shift Bongo Cat. Right. Okay. So that is the staircase. It is one square across, so it's about 5 feet wide.
So it's going to be one at a time down here, then?
Yeah, okay.
Well, then me and you are small, so we can actually swap places with each other relatively easily, because I believe small people can move through small or larger creatures' squares?
Yep.
Which is pleasant. So, yeah, I'm going to get a torch lit so that I can actually fucking see, and then wait for Salik to lead the way.
Okay.
Okay, well, head down.
Okay, you head down.
Can I hear anything?
You can't hear anything at the moment. Okay, so as you head down, and I will give it a little bit of capture. No, not that. Hold on, I need to open the thing first. Then I do the capture. Right. So you are now, right, at the bottom of the staircase, you find yourself in a chamber that is empty, unlit, and has a 2 foot deep, let us say, pool of foul smelling water.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you're in this, this chamber. You can see it through the sputtering torchlight that Guariel is carrying, or dark vision. You'll see that there are two routes out in the southern wall of the chamber.
Okay.
Interestingly, while the staircase was lined with brick, the walls of this are limestone.
So like a cave?
Yeah, it looks like it's sort of a natural cavern. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you all coming down after me, or?
Well, I have.
Yeah, I've.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a lantern as well, so I'll light my lantern as well. And when we get to the bottom of the stairs, I'll. Huh?
If you're planning to hold the lantern, I'll get my shield back out, because that makes a considerable difference to my ability to defend you all.
Oh, okay.
So I'll puss out.
I'll offer to take your lantern then.
Fair enough. I'll hand the torch to Ladle then if she's willing to carry the light and get my shield back out, because yeah, it doesn't actually make a big difference to my AC.
Yeah, I'd like to walk around the room and just have a look and see what's going on in here.
Okay. As I said, there are two exits to the room in the south wall. Other than that, the room itself is fairly featureless. It's about 8, it's sort of 9 foot tall. There appear to be wooden beams bracing it.
And is the water just water?
The water's just sort of brackish water, yeah.
Nothing else in there?
Nothing else. Yeah, it's just not particularly pleasant water.
Are there doors to the exits?
No, there are no doors. It just seems to be, cavern.
Okay.
Tunnels, I guess.
Can I have a listen at each corridor?
Okay, yeah, you can have a listen. Make me a perception check.
A 7.
You don't hear anything.
Look
at everyone else and you're like,
peer into the darkness at each exit to this room and see if I can divine anything about the corridors beyond.
Let's okay.
Get an idea of like airflow or smells. This tabaxi right. snooze has got to be good to for something.
Right. So you can see that the eastern one seems to be leading down, and then it turns around a corner. So it's sort of an ongoing corridor. The one to the west leads into a smaller room. Again, it's like this one you're currently in, featureless limestone walls, sort of the 2 feet of brackish water. Just at a casual glance, you don't see anything particularly interesting there or anything at all, really.
Okay. I'm going to point to the one at the west and go, this one runs out, the other one doesn't. I'm assuming Gwariel is going first, or Salika going first, so...
Salik said they wanted to go first, so Gwariel is happily letting them, unless they change their mind.
Which way are we going?
Point to the eastern one. That one actually has a corridor behind it.
Okay, let's go that way.
Okay, so you're heading down the eastern corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that goes on for a ways. Right, let me just this next bit. Shit, no, hold on. That's my version of the map. You don't get to see that.
Not yet.
Not yet. No. Okay, so you carry on down the corridor, goes on. It then turns a corner again, and at that point, eventually, that's where the water stops, and you are now actually on solid, dry ground.
Cool.
And it leads you down here to a sort of hexagonal room with four doors, one on each cardinal point. The chamber is empty, but not bereft of decor. Carved into each of its three doors is a full figure depiction of one of the dead three. Okay, there isn't actually a door on the west. That's just a, straight leading into another bit of corridor. But yeah, there are three doors, one on the east, the north, and the south, and each one has a different carving on it.
And we've come through the north one, have we?
Yes, you open the door. It isn't locked.
Who's on that one?
Right, so on the north door is a powerfully built skull-headed man with long curved blades where his hands should be. Would anyone like to make me a religion check?
Okie dokie. My religion says
four. Well,
I can try a religion check.
I did better than him, but I still only got a seven. So.
Seven. 14.
Okay.
Mary, that is Baal, the god of murder. One of the dead three.
And that's the door we just came through.
Yes, you just came through that one. There's one opposite and there's one at the east, which would be your left as you enter the room.
What do the other ones look like?
Right, so the one on the east door... is a tall armored man wearing a bucket helm. His right gauntlet is painted black and clutches a set of shackles.
Is the door open?
No, the other two doors are currently shut. And okay. The one to the south is a cloaked figure whose face is hidden under a cowl. In his skeletal hands, he clutches a screaming human skull.
That one will be Nurkle, then.
Should we do religion checks for those?
Yeah, if you want to do religious checks for those other two. Yep.
11.
13. I need a new D20.
Okay. Anyone who gets higher than 10, the south door is indeed Merkel, the Lord of Bones, and the east door is Bane, the God of Tyranny.
Cool. These guys sound great.
Yes, they are collectively known as the Dead Three because they took over the portfolio of the original god of the dead, Yerkel, and also because they've all died and then come back.
Okay.
I'm Dead Three.
Well, they're gods. It's kind of a bit fiddly. There was this whole thing where pretty much all the gods got made mortal, kind of. And then a bunch of them died, including the dead three, but they all found ways to come back because ghosts. Yeah.
That's the bloody way.
Yes.
What does the corridor to the west look like?
The corridor to the west is... Right. The corridor to the west leads... Fairly short, leads into another area where the floor is covered with water. At the end of there, sort of in that bit, sort of turning slightly down south there, is a tapestry. A little hard to see from here, but if you want, you can go up and have a look.
Not right now.
Okay.
I want to see whether or not the other doors are unlocked.
I'd like to see a tapestry.
Okay. Well, let me just check. First of all, so the doors are not locked. They do seem to be openable. Mary, you go up and look at the tapestry. It's about 5 foot wide, 7 foot tall. It depicts a grisly scene of four faceless figures ripping apart a fifth figure who is screaming.
That's horrible.
Yes. You also notice that there's sort of a yellow mold growing around the edges of the tapestry.
Oh, I might be able to work out what that is.
Do you want to come look in a mold?
Lovely.
Okay.
Let's have a look.
Make a nature roll.
Nature. No. Okay.
Yeah, if you're looking specifically at the mold.
A 16.
Right, that is yellow mold, which is a specific thing. Do not touch it, or it will release poisonous spores.
Is that one of the things I can use to make potions? I'm feeling it might be.
Possibly. Let me have a quick check.
No, it's the purple worms I need.
Yeah, it's not a specific yellow mold. I mean, if you want, you have a poison kit.
Yeah.
The poison kit? In theory, you could use the poison kit to collect some of the yellow mold without triggering the spores if you wanted to.
If she's trying that, I'm moving way back.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
I would
probably flap at you slightly and say, I could stand back just a little. I just want to see if I can get some of this for my shop.
Yes, you can. I will rule that because you are trained with your... You can carefully... And you're not under any pressure, so you can carefully retrieve a sample of that for crafting purposes.
Yay.
Huzzah.
Okay. Right. So there is also, from the north of there, there seems to be another room. Let me just take a picture of that for you. There is another room if you want to go look at that. Or you can go back and look at the other stuff in the
other
doors.
Should we make people to look at doors if they want to look at doors?
The doors do not appear to be locked. But if there's stuff that way, we probably want to check that out first.
Yeah, okay. I have very little survival instinct, it seems. I can say I'm quite curious. So I will probably wander further down once I've got my mold sample.
Okay.
And follow the corridor around.
I follow her.
Yep. Three wooden beams brace the ceiling of this flooded chamber, which features a stone altar covered with entrails in the northeast corner. Hanging on the wall above the altar is a 3-foot-tall steel mask cast in the form of a frowning human skull.
Good.
That's fine. That was the dude with the blades for arms, wasn't it?
No, that was Baal. Baal was the blades for arms.
Oh. Him then.
Yeah, he was also a skull-headed man. So, yeah, that would be Baal.
Murder, right?
Yes, god of murder.
I mean, they have entrails on their altar. Murder.
Are they fresh?
They're not fresh.
Right.
I think they've been there for maybe a day or two.
Does that coincide with the murders we were told about?
I mean, the murders have been going on for a bit now, apparently, but there have been some murders in the last couple of days, yes. Because they've been going on for a bit longer than that as well.
Okay. There seems to be a corridor to the northwest.
Yes, there is another corridor going along to the northwest. Are you wanting to go along that?
Have a peek first.
Okay, you have a little peek. Just take that. And you see another little room / cave. And floating face down in the middle of it is a corpse.
Definitely a corpse?
I mean, if you want to go a little closer and have a look.
I mean, I'm going to get to quarterstaff distance and give it a poke, but...
Yeah, there are multiple knife wounds. Also, this guy has clearly been dead for... Well, make me a medicine check.
Okay. 13.
Yeah, you'd say 2 days or so. So there's a bit of bloating, as would occur if you left a corpse in not particularly nice water for a couple of days.
Not poking that anymore.
Yeah, you don't want him to go boom.
I've heard about the exploding whale.
Yes. Or William the First.
Didn't know about that one.
Well, this is what happens when you try and get a somewhat large gentleman into a stone coffin after he's been decomposing a bit because you carted him from England to France in the 12th century, but never mind.
Ah. No fridges.
Yikes.
Yes.
So not so much encased as poured.
Well, more like boom and everyone ended up running out of the cathedral because it smelled so bad. But anyway.
Wow.
That is the legend. Of course, this is the 12th century. Who knows how accurate that was. But otherwise, there seems to be a dead end. Especially for him, but also... Literally, and there doesn't seem to be anything further this direction.
I return to the others. Nope. Also, don't poke it. And then I disappear back to the crossroads.
Okay.
I'm going to follow. Is there anything of any particular interest on the altar at all?
Just entrails.
Just entrails and a skull.
Just entrails. And the 3-foot-tall skull visage thing that you're pretty sure is the sigil of Baal.
Okay, just going to leave that there.
Okay.
It's not pocketable.
I mean, I don't know, man. You've got pockets big enough for a flail. Surely you've got pockets for a 3-foot-tall skull, Mark.
A flail is like a foot on its largest dimension when folded.
I have a
that
question.
That is 3 feet.
I have a question, then. While this is not pocketable, is it desecratable? Because I don't feel like leaving their little... craft project, shall we say, intact when we leave?
I mean, it's a stone altar with some entrails on it and a mask above it. You can do what you think, what you feel you'd like to do to it that you think would piss off Baal.
How's the mask suspended above it?
It's
on ropes or chains.
Well, it says hanging. I guess it would be chains.
Are they hooked to anything?
I'm guessing they'd be like, what do you call them? Eyelets?
Okay.
They're like they're stuck into the ceiling.
I will unhook it from the eyelets and go and chuck it in the drink with the dead guy.
Okay. It splooshes into the water. It doesn't float.
Then I'll go and, using my weapon... sweep the entrails off the altar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, do you know what? I think I know what would piss them off the most. I will take out one of my water skins, which has got clean water in it, and I will pour it over the altar and clean it off. So no guts, no gunk, just a stone thing. Because fuck these people. They're weirdos and murderers.
Yep. There you go. You've got it. The altar is now clean.
Right. Anyway, where are we going now?
Well, we've got the options of Mr. Tyranny or Mr. Bones.
East or south?
Well,
I mean, since we've met, sure. I was going to say, since we met Merkle Dude already, go through his door, but I think that's Seth. So, east.
Okay, you're heading east. Okay. Okay, it's a fairly straight along corridor, and it then leads into a room.
As we're wandering down this corridor, Amberhide sort of scratches his head and goes, shouldn't we be, like, checking for traps and stuff?
Why, have you seen any?
Well, no, but I'm not a specialist either. Mm. Anyone good with traps?
No.
Yep. I can't actually remember what stat is, what skill that is, but...
I suspect it's perception, which is why Guariel has gone, no.
Do
you hate fiddly pieces of skin that are right next to armor plates? I also do not like this group. But anyway.
Okay, so are you advancing along into the room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. The eastern part of this room is unlit, flooded, and braced with floor-to-ceiling wooden beams. Rough-hewn steps rise out of the murky water to the western portion of the room, which is dry and lit by two torches in sconces that flank a stone altar. Shackled to the wall behind the altar is a sickly man in a loincloth with a burlap sack over his head. An alcove in the north wall contains a freestanding suit of plate armor missing its helm. Standing before the altar are two grim figures. A powerfully built woman clutching a mace, and an even bigger man wearing a bucket helm. The helmed man is jabbing the prisoner with a spear, causing him to twitch. Both figures are clad in chainmail, and the woman carries a wooden shield with a leering skull painted on it.
Right.
They haven't seen us, have they?
They haven't yet, but, well, are you being stealthy? Have you still got your torches out?
Well, I'm carrying a lantern, so...
Yes, because either if you're not, I can't see, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that we're going to be spotted.
I don't think we're subtle.
Do we go fast enough for a surprise round or no?
The moment Guariel sees clearly cultist people, I would start in motion, so either join me or catch up.
Well, I think the question is just whether we get a surprise round or not. But
that's up to the GM, basically.
Yeah, let me roll some D20s here, because let's see.
At least one of them's wearing a bucket helm, which doesn't help.
Yeah. Bucket helm dude doesn't seem to notice you approaching.
Yeah.
Because he's going, here, poke, here, poke. The woman, however, sort of, as you start making to walk forward, but you are making a bit of a splashing sound, she sort of turns around and sees you. Like, oh. She has her mace and shield at the ready. And, so let's have some initiative rolls then, please. And I will roll for these guys for this.
22.
Hang on. Why don't we wait until he starts calling on us and then we'll give them all at once?
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. So. Right. So. 20.
Or higher.
19.
Hang on.
20 or higher?
22. Amberhide is on 22.
22. Amberhide. Okay. 21. 20. 19.
Yeah.
19 for Mary. 18. 17. 16. 15. 13. 12.
Me.
11.
I'm on 12.
12 for Ladle. 12 for Ladle.
I'm on 11.
11 for Guariel. 11 for Salik. Guariel and Salik. That's all of you guys. Yeah, they are both slower than you guys. They actually both rolled 5.
Wow.
On separate dice.
Cool. I don't mind them fucking up. That's great.
Yeah, well, you know. So B and yes, I see. Right, Amberhide, you are up first.
Which one of them seems less armored?
They're both wearing chainmail. But the spear guy doesn't have a shield, so he's probably
probably going for Mr. No Shield.
Okay, fair enough.
If I can get to him in one round, I'm not quite sure.
What's your movement?
My move speed is on this sheet somewhere. 40 feet.
Yeah, no, you can get it. He's slower to react, but yeah, you get to him.
Well, whack.
Okay, make a roll.
I somehow don't think 14 is going to hit.
No, he manages to sort of knock your quarterstaff off course with his spear, having turned his attention to you. So up next is Mary.
Okay, of the two of them, was it one of them assaulting the person chained up?
That was the spear guy who Amberhide has attacked. The lady with the mace and shield was just sort of watching.
In which case, Sacred Flame on the guy with the spear.
Okay.
He needs to make Dex saving throw versus 13.
Dex versus 13. Okay, let's roll the dice for him. He gets a fucking natural one, so no, he does not dodge that.
Okay.
Okay, Sacred Flame does
1d8 radiant damage.
Okay, roll me a
4.
Four, okay. Yeah, he is engulfed in holy flame. Goes, well, it's sort of muffled because he's got a bucket head on. So he's like,
yeah. Mary's sort of staying in the doorway, letting people pass because she can do that from 60 feet away. So
yeah, no, makes sense. Ladle, you're up next.
If I hide behind one of the columns, are they still in range or do I need to come a bit closer?
Let's see, look at the map. Column
range is 25 feet.
That would be 5 squares. You could just get them. Just. If you're at the, if you're like by the nearest columns.
Yeah. In that case, I'll do my usual duck and hide and then pop round with a needle.
Okay, who are you shooting at?
The closest one.
Right, that would be the lady with the mace and shield. Make me a roll.
I've forgotten what I add to it.
Dex minus and your proficiency.
24.
Jeez.
Yeah, that hits.
Did you roll an 18?
So you rolled an 18. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, fair enough.
18. Yeah.
Yep. That hit. Yep, that hits her. Roll for damage.
She's not currently being flanked, is she?
Not currently, no.
Okay, so it is just my base damage then.
Yeah, it's the base damage, six. Okay, well, still 6 damage. Yeah, she does start bleeding from the dart, poking a hole in her. Okay. Right, up next, Warrel and Salik. Decide amongst yourselves which of you would like to go first this time.
What's your dex, Salik?
15.
We're literally both the same. So, up to you. Do you want to go first or second?
You go first. I don't think I can get into combat this round. I've only got a speed of 25.
Ah, okay. Well, I've got a speed of 30. Can I make it into them?
Let's see. Yes, you can make it into them, I'd say.
Okay, so Amberhide is already on Bucket Helm.
Yep.
So I will charge right in and try and wail on Shield and Mace Lady.
Okay, yep. Yep, go make a roll.
Shit. Tice has decided to escape down the back of the... Oh, dear. Right, I'm pretty certain that a mighty 10 will not hit her.
No.
Action
no.
surge. I do it again.
Okay.
Fuck, even worse. Okay. I missed twice.
Yeah, she manages to interpose her shield and stop you getting a hit in. Okay. Salik, you're just moving up.
Unless I can get, if I can move 25 foot and my axe has a reach of 5 foot.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean I can?
Yeah, you would be able to engage.
I might as well do that then. Okay. Would that be on the woman?
Yeah, that would be on the woman because she's a bit further forward because she noticed you first.
Okay. That would be a 17 to hit.
Okay, that just misses.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So it's now the both of these guys. So the lady will go for. She's going to try for Guariel. I think she's sort of.
Cool.
Figures he might be the trickier of the two to deal with. Right, so that is. It's plus that. So make a roll. Right, a 12 is not going to hit you, I'm assuming, Guariel?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Right, at which point the spear dude is engaged with Amberhide. He will make an attack. He gets a 12.
So he needed a 15.
He needed, yeah, okay. He then, however, lets forth a mighty shout, in the name of Bay, attack them. And the, moving with more speed than you'd think she'd be capable of, the mace lady launches a second attack, this time going for Salik.
I impose disadvantage on this attack.
Okay, I will roll a second dice. Okay, yeah, no, that misses. But it's surprising that she could do that.
Mm.
Okay, we are now back to the top. Amberhide.
So guess what I remembered I've got.
What have you remembered that
key
you've got?
Key points?
Yeah, I've not done monk that much. I don't think I've ever gotten to level 2 in a monk. So yeah, I'm going to try for quarterstaff to start with, and then apparently I can do flurry of blows after that.
Oh, right, yeah.
For a key point. And that's two unarmed strikes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, make your first attack.
19.
That hits him.
And 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
7 points of bludgeoning. Okay. Right.
And then I'm unarmed. A key point.
And... if I remember correctly, Tabaxi have claws.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually do anything for my damage. It just effectively allows me to select whether I want bludgeoning or slashing damage for my...
Okay. Interesting to bear in mind, possible for future things. But yeah, at this point, not entirely all that relevant.
14 to hit? Probably doesn't.
Nope.
And that 11 isn't going to do anything either.
Nope.
Oh, well, I got through with something.
Yeah, you managed to catch him a good blow with the arm, but he manages to sort of impose the helm to stop the unarmed strikes doing anything.
He parries with his face.
Best way to parry.
Hey, where's that guy in Star Wars, the Acolyte?
Yeah.
That was fucking cool. Okay, Mary.
I'm probably just going to Sacred Flame again. So, dex saving throw for the man.
Okay, he will try and make a dex saving throw. What was the difficulty again?
13.
He does not make that.
Cool. What did I get my d8 this time? A 6.
Okay.
6 radiant damage.
6 radiant damage. He's once more singed. He's very unhappy that you did that. Okay, ladle.
I will go for the woman again.
Okay.
This time she is being engaged, yeah, but that's damage, not
that's attack. Damage. Right. Yeah, but let's see. Make a roll to hit.
Oh dear. Nope. I rolled a 2.
No.
yeah, 8 to hit.
Yeah, no. Afraid not. Okay. Guaril and Salik.
If you don't mind, Salik, I will attempt to smack this woman.
Go ahead.
I'm getting pretty cross, so I'm actually going to really try and hit her. Yeah, I do. 22?
Yeah, that hits.
Right, damage will be... I'm using my shield, so... Ooh, 10 points of damage.
Nice, okay. You do her quite a nasty sort of slash at the side there.
I was just playing with you before.
Oh, bugger, I should have rolled with advantage.
Oops.
Never mind, I'll remember next time.
Okay. Salik?
Yeah, I'll have another attack on the wound.
Okay.
That would be a 19.
That hits.
Ooh, and then damage is a total of 4.
Okay. Yeah, she is not looking good here. She is really struggling. She sort of grits her teeth and goes for a swing on you this time, Salik.
I impose my shield and give her disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Okay. I'll roll 2 and she's the lowest. Yeah, that gives her a... yeah, that's a 10. I'm guessing that doesn't hit.
Nope, that doesn't hit.
Nope. Yeah, she misses. Spear Dude will again try and stab you up, Amberhide.
Oh, he's got to hit 15.
No. Yeah, no, he rolled a 2, so no. No, he misses. Again, his voice booms out. Can you just keep doing this?
Let's hope not.
I'm afraid, Salik, I can't do that once around, so... You're running around okay. This one.
Yeah, he again shouts out, "In the name of Bane, slaughter these infidels!" And again, with speed that you're not sure how she has it, she strikes. Going for you again, Salik. But she rolls a 10 again, so doesn't hit.
Yep.
Right. And we're back to the top. Amberhide.
Whack, hopefully.
Okay. Give him a whack.
No, that's a natural one. I don't think I get... After you take the attack action...
You have to hit.
Do I?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't say that here.
Does it not?
What are we looking at?
Flurry of blows.
Maybe they've changed it then.
I can get the exact wording.
Immediately after you take an attack action.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. Yeah, nice. You don't have to hit.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Have a couple more goes then.
Yep. Okay. Although this is the last time I'll be able to do this short rest, but mm-hmm. Hey-ho. 14, which I don't think is enough.
Nope.
And 14, which is not enough.
Nope. He manages to deftly maneuver his spear around to intercept first the first your quarterstaff and then your follow-up kicks. I'm assuming kicks because you're dual-wielding the double-handing the quarterstaff.
Yeah, there's any number of things I could be doing, including chuck the quarterstaff up, punch, catch quarterstaff.
Ooh, that's fucking cool. I think it's a Shaolin
thing.
That sounds like a Shaolin thing. I need to watch more fucking Hong Kong martial arts movies. Mary, it's your go.
Sacred flame early, sacred flame often.
Sure, hey.
If he's calling upon his god, I'm calling on mine to purify this place. And okay. That involves
flame.
So, yeah. Dex, okay, saving throw, please. Versus 13.
Dex versus 13. He actually makes it this time.
Damn
in
it.
Between blocking off the vertex, he also sidesteps and the flames miss. He was on a roll that time. Ladle, you're up.
I will attempt to hit the lady again. I should have had advantage last time because I damaged her the time before, but I'm not going to budge it because that was just me not paying attention to my stats, and I need to remember that I have Vex. So I'm just going to roll just one dice. Cause,
okay.
That's 9. That's like 15 to hit.
No, it doesn't hit, I'm afraid.
Hey.
Dart just hits her shield.
Yeah. Ping.
Okay. So up next, it's Gwariel and Salik.
One second. Unless, Salik, you particularly want to go at her?
No, go ahead.
I will whack her again. I'm literally, it's just a very, tall for a fairy, just holding his shield up, and occasionally the shield drops down. I have stab, and then I put the shield in the way of her attacks. 12 is not enough. I miss.
Nope.
They're wearing, Salik? What, chainmail?
Chainmail.
Yeah, they're probably on about 16 the same minimum. As me. No, because she's got a shield, so she'll be 18.
She's got a shield.
So she'll be on 18, but he'll be on 16.
Yep.
You may think that, but I couldn't possibly comment.
Yeah, depending on their dexterity.
I used to play healer in a tin, so...
Yeah. I mean, if you know the system, it's kind of fairly... I mean, unless you're just paying attention to what people are rolling, whether or not they hit, you can usually figure it out fairly quickly.
Which is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fair enough.
But yeah. Salik!
Yeah, I rolled a 24.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, that hits.
That would be... another 5 points of damage.
Describe your kill, please, Salik.
Ooh, okay. So she's attacked me a couple of times. Salik just double grips, two-handed the battle axe, and just with an owlish scream, just kind of whacks it into her chest.
Ooh.
Has to wiggle the axe to get her off.
Oh. With a gurgling cry, she falls backwards, quite dead. The gentleman with the helm gives an enraged cry at seeing his comrade fall, and redoubles his efforts to attack Amberhide.
How close is Amberhide to me?
How close do you have to be for the thing? Is it five feet?
It's like right next to me. If they're next to me, I can do it.
No. He's about a space. He's sort of like, I'd say a diagonally a space away.
Then I can't do it.
Yeah, okay. That is a 21, so I'm pretty sure that hits. Yeah. He is holding that in both hands, so that is that for damage. 7 damage.
Ooh, still up, but only just.
Yeah, he manages to catch you a quite nasty stab. He has no one to shout his exhortations in the name of Bane to this time, so he just settles for Hyde, you are up now. Over that for top.
You actually managed to hit me. Fucker. Hit him with the quarter staff.
Okay.
Well, let's hope. 22.
Yes, that hits.
Revenge. 8 points of damage.
Nice. Very solid thwanking.
Alas, I have no key points left, so I can't follow up.
That's, you know, he's quite a beefy fellow, so you're not sure how far into his ability to fight you are, but he's looking somewhat beaten and battered and bloodied and scorched. Speaking of scorching, Mary, you're up next.
At this point, the woman is down. So yeah, there's just down. One man, mm-hmm. and there's five of us.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary is going to change tack. And instead of carrying on with the sacred flame, she's going to run over and see how close can she get to the person who was being stabbed up without going into melee range with this guy.
Well, this is very sort of heavily occupied, so okay. You were sort of saying back in the doorway. So yeah, I'd say, you, what's your movement?
Good question. 30?
Yeah, you can get to where this guy is hanging.
Yeah, does he look alive?
He does appear to be alive. He is in bad shape, but he still seems to be breathing. He's sort of just, his eyes are shut and he's making sort of pained groaning sounds.
Okay. From a game point of view, this isn't remotely sensible, but never mind. Given I've only got 3 spell slots per long rest, she's going to cast Cure Wounds on him.
Okay.
Because, yeah. So that is, he regains 8 hit points.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, his eyes sort of flutter open. It's like, he looks down at you and, thank you. Could you help me get out of here, please?
Let's let them finish first. She just sort of gestures to the fight going on.
good luck.
Yep, that was her action.
Okay,
cool. Amazing.
I'm going to give you a point of inspiration for that.
Nice.
Ladle. You're,
Yep, I think I need to move a little bit closer to mm-hmm. get the bucket head in
okay,
range.
Yep.
And then I will try and hit him. 21 to hit.
Yes, that hits.
And he is definitely got someone else attacking him at the moment, isn't he?
Yes, he most definitely does.
So that is, 10 points of damage.
Oof.
9, sorry, 9.
9 points. Still.
10.
Still.
Okay. 10 points.
Okay.
10 points.
10 points of damage. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You catch him sort of around sort of the just under the in the gap sort of between the helm and the shoulder of his chainmail. You don't get the throat, but you do. You do get him quite nastily, and he does seem to be bleeding quite a bit from that.
Excellent.
Yeah, Guaro and Salik, you're up.
This guy's been engaged with Amberhide for quite some time, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he's probably going to be quite surprised when Guaro skids through Amberhide's legs and then slashes on the way past so that he can end up next to Amberhide and also fighting this guy.
Yes, I think everyone in that situation would be rather surprised.
15? Probably
not. Not quite. Not quite. Style points for the entrance, though.
Yeah.
Salik.
I guess I will crowd in.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, take your shot.
I'm going to go with no, with a 2.
No, no. Okay. Yeah, he's surrounded, but give him his due. He is fighting on. He's going to actually go for, actually, he'll probably still try and take Salik, because he probably figures Salik's the easiest one he can can take out to reduce the numbers at this point. So he will...
Guess what happens?
Guess what happens? He rolls the disadvantage.
Yeah, he
does. I'm assuming yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you mean Amberhide?
No. No? Well, actually, he rolled this... No. Goro's ability means that this guy rolls a disadvantage to hit you. Actually, he rolled the same thing on each dice, so that's a total of 13.
Who's he attacking is what we're trying to...
He's attacking Amberhide.
Right.
15 armor class.
So no, he doesn't hit. He does in fact miss Amberhide.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is why you hire a fairy bodyguard.
And he will always, because your opponent's to roll disadvantage.
Yep, he absolutely fucking will. Well, as long as I don't need my reaction for anything else.
Well, yeah, true.
That's the problem.
Okay, back to the top, Amberhide.
Sound of dice rolling. Disappointment. 11.
No, not enough, I'm afraid.
I don't have key points, so...
No, you've used up your key points. You are quite keyless. You are locked out. It is Locktober, so... Miri.
Oh, okay. Good question. I mean, I'm quite near this guy now, and I do have... I mean, it's probably insane to try and hit him with a mace, because I'm not very good with it, but I do have a mace.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to run in and hit him with the mace.
Or I could just Sacred Flame him again. Why not? I'll just do that.
Okay. He will try and make his dex roll. It's against a 13. He actually makes it. If this is more the case of the swirl of bodies as he is now engaged in combat with three other people of varying heights, makes it very hard for you to get a bead on him.
That's fair.
Ladle.
I'm going to try and dodge him again.
Okay. And
I just put a whack and great strawberry bonbon in my mouth. Thought it was further down the initiative than that.
Understandable.
Don't mind me, I'm just throwing an orc war boss on the floor.
Oh, don't do that. Gork and or Mork will disapprove. I believe you get advantage for this roll as well, is that right? Because yes, you did him damage last vexed. Time? Yes.
Which is good, because I rolled a 2 and a 15.
Okay.
So 15, 21 to hit.
Yeah, you hit him. Roll for damage with your sneak attack damage.
Yep. Ooh, 11.
Okay, you do 11 damage. Okay. Yeah. Describe your kill.
Nice.
Nice. As I've been aiming for that little gap between the helmet and the chainmail, I finally get just the right angle to go, whoop, and it goes straight in the jugular.
Blood starts coming out of the lower part of the bucket helm, and he sinks to his knees, clutching at his throat, and then tilts to the side and falls dead.
Amberhide turns around and goes, "What do you put on those things?"
It's a trade secret, I believe.
Bloody hell.
I just put my little blowpipe back into my pocket.
I'm going to untie a man. I think he's got the keys to my shackles.
That's the corpse, I guess.
Yeah, can anyone get the keys?
I'll go for it.
Does he have the keys?
Indeed, there is a key ring with 7 keys on that guy's, on the belt of the now deceased. Well, he was an Iron Consul. In fact, we even get his name in this. Ooh. His name was Yignath.
Well, Yignath.
And the lady with the mace was Kizara, a female human fist of bane.
I see.
As you do, yes.
7 keys, you say?
7 keys.
So we're going to trying a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. If I look at the keys, can I work out which one opens the lock, or with me being very good at locks?
Well,
to show off.
There's 3 that look similar to each other, and then there's 4 that look similar to each other. At a guess, you'd say the three that look similar are shackle keys, but they are all different shackle keys, so you're not sure which of those three would work on this set of shackles.
Okay. I'll just take the one in the middle then and have a go.
Okay.
Can I reach? Is he hanging? Sorry, I should check.
He is in fact hanging.
And
there's a ladder by the side there if you want to use the ladder. Or you could get
scurry up.
Or you could get, you know, one of the people who can fly. Which not actually is just sleek.
I'm not changing my fucking armor again.
Yeah.
Sleek fly and use keys.
I got to
Yeah. On the second attempt, you get the right key and he sort of falls. He manages to get wobbly to his feet.
As it comes.
We'll be there to catch him.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you, a thousand thank yous. My name is Klim Jasso. I was, a couple of days ago, my bodyguard and I were just walking from the market and these cultists attacked us, killed my bodyguard and took me, and they've just been torturing me. They didn't even ask for anything or for any money or anything. They just tortured me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did my family send you?
No.
Oh, well, doesn't make sense.
They were followers of Bane.
Bane, which one? Oh, he kept talking about Bane. Oh, well, that would explain the torture.
Yes.
Certainly. Right.
We're just here to help.
Well, that's very kind of you. I don't suppose you could take me back to my family's estate up in the Upper City?
I suspect we can, but we need to finish clearing out all of the cultists in here first.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, tell you what. If you come along to the Jasso estate later, I'm sure we can sort something out for you. Which way's out of this place?
We will take you back as far as the crossroads and point you in the right direction. There is only one path from there.
Okay. We're under a bathhouse? Really? Wow.
Yes.
Roughly?
Yes, it will be under new management soon.
Yes, hopefully you'll have killed all the old one. Thank you. Again, a thousand thank yous. Yes, so you take him back to the crossroads and point him in the direction?
I locked the gate. He's not going to be able to get out that way.
Then I'm sure we'll encounter him on the way out. But I'm not going to remember that whilst I'm taking him back to the crossroads.
No, yes, it's fine. We can save that little detail for later.
If he can't get out, we're going to meet him again anyway.
Yes.
And then we can take him back to his front door and he'll be grateful.
Well, can we continue through? Is it a dead end where this torture altar is?
Right. Yes. So,
because it might be easier for him to go out that way.
Altar is, but there is a passage off to the side. Let me just snip that for you.
Oh, I'll gather up my needles as well quickly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, off to the side, to the left as you face the altar, is some steps going down into another flooded corridor.
Oh, I had the perspective on this from all wrong. Is that a ring of things? Oh no, there are doors there. Are they locked?
Right, that is... So there's a door sort of in the curvy... The corridor curves. There's a door there.
Hmm.
Again, not locked. So
we're not going to send him through a door unless we go with him. We can't.
No. We've delivered him back.
We've not checked back
to the crossroads and sent him north. We're not keeping him whilst exploring.
Yeah, that's a recipe for him getting very dead indeed, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. He did actually take the mace off the dead woman's body, so he's got a mace.
Sorry, you said he was house crawly?
I mean, he's a sickly man, but he has been, you know, He's been cure wounded, so he's okay. True. I mean, he's not a fighter, but you know, he's got a mace to look after himself, and he's walking back through an area you've already cleared. So,
mm-hmm.
So long as he doesn't do anything ultra stupid, he should be fine.
He gets to the gate, which he can't get through.
We'll get to that.
He tries to get over it, and impales his groin on a spike.
Hopefully, he'll hide in a hedge like a sensible man.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
while wearing just a loincloth, so that'll be a bit prickly.
Or sit on a bench.
I mean, you've just come through a bathhouse where they've probably got towels. So,
well, yeah, they had plenty of towels
and robes, I believe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
it was the swanky kind of bathhouse.
Yeah, the swanky, slightly murdery kind of bathhouse. Unfortunately,
You see, that's how they could afford the swank because of the murder. Possibly. But yes, so do you want to proceed down through here or
yep.
Is there anything to the east of that stair down from the altar?
Because
you've got a corridor which doesn't seem to quite terminate on the steps that you've given us.
Well, if I will give you a slightly larger snip, snippity snip snip, snippity snip. Give you a little more of an idea of how it goes out. As you look back to the east, you realize that actually connects into the other side of where you came into the altar room. Yeah, so it sort of cut down around. But yeah, so that cuts down there. There is an offshoot there. There's one to the south as well. Where do you want to go?
And you said the door wasn't locked or anything.
That door is not, the door in the corridor is not locked.
I mean, I will have a look down the western corridor just to see what it is.
Okay, you have a look down the western corridor. Let me show you what is down the western corridor. It is a room. This partially collapsed room has three wooden beams bracing its ceiling. Situated between the beams is a scorched wooden table with a human cadaver resting atop it. A frighteningly thin woman in a black robe is studying the corpse, her face largely hidden under her cowl. Around her feet creep a swarm of skeletal rats. And that is where we will leave things for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this. If you have, please do give us likes, give us reviews on whatever format approach that you get this podcast from. Like, subscribe. I already said like, never mind. You can find us on Blue Sky at the Cult of Tea and Dice. You can find us at thecultoftandice.net. And, yes, I think that covers it.
thecultoftandice@gmail.com as well.
cultoftandice@gmail.com. If you want to email us about stuff and things and send us pictures, please, nothing too saucy. Sorry, I'm very tired.
Send pictures of ketchup.
Ketchup or catsup?
As long as it's saucy, it's fine.
Oh, matron. That you know it's gone bad when I'm doing Kenneth Williams. Let's just leave it there. Good night. Bye.
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 Bye.